Senate will please come to order. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Roll call for Tuesday, February 19th. Anderson.
Here.
Allman.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Fecht.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hines. Jennings.
Here.
Job.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Mockler.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross excused.
Excused.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Vasey.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Schiffer.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Please join us in prayer with Reverend Oliver.
Good morning. Let us pray. Lord God of truth, who calls us to absolute honesty in everything we say and everything we do, we pray this morning that you would renew our commitment to truth. In a time in which people no longer expect to hear the truth, or what's even worse, don't see the need to consistently speak it or act upon it, we pray that you would make us straight arrows who hit the target of absolute honesty. Help us to be people on whom others always can depend for unswerving integrity. May the reliability of our words and our actions earn us the right to give righteous leadership on this day. Thank you for the wonderful freedom that comes from a consistency between what we say and what we do. Lord, you are present where the truth is spoken, and we thank you for reigning supreme in this Senate chamber today. All this we pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading correction and approval of the journal. Would the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 18th, 2008, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Members of the Senate, our doctor for the day is Dr. Parks from here in Cheyenne. Our staff supervisor will be supervising him, which is, I think, normal in households. Dr. Parks, welcome, and thank you to Judy Parks for sharing your husband to be our doctor for the day. It's great. And our nurses for the day are Sue Weber and Dorothy Seisenbach. Did I get close on that? They come to us from the State Hospital over in Evanston. Thank you all for coming over. Thought for the day. It isn't progress that is hurting us so much today. It's the side effects. Members of the Senate, it is a real honor to welcome back to this chamber one of our own who's moved on to, I'm not going to say greener pastures, but certainly different pastures. But particularly, not only for Senator Barrasso's service in this body, but 24 years of service to the people of Wyoming as a physician and as a community leader. Senator Barrasso was sworn in to the United States Senate on June 25, 2007, by Vice President Dick Cheney. As you know, Senator Barrasso was appointed to replace the late Senator Craig Thomas. In the United States Senate, he serves on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee the Environment and Public Works Committee, and the Indian Affairs Committee. Senator Barrasso served in this chamber from 2002 till 2006. During his tenure here, he served as chairman of the Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs Committee. He also served as a member of the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee and the Minerals, Business, and Economic Development Committee. Senator Barrasso is known as Wyoming's doctor for his work as the medical director of Wyoming Health Affairs and for his television and radio reports and newspaper columns, providing all of us with important health information. It's really with some regret I miss those radio ads. Whether his advice was good or even appropriate or even fit what ailed me, I liked hearing his voice on the radio. Senator Barrasso, welcome to the Senate, and would you please give us some of your words?
Thank you. Thank you. Good. Thank you very much. What a great privilege it is to be back here. It is just remarkable looking there, seeing Bill sitting in that seat, and it's so much fun to come home and to see all of you. And this really is a great training ground. And the 5 years here, starting by sitting next to Senator Hines when it was the three Johns in this aisle here, and we would sit there, and I'd lean over to him my first year, and I'd say, John, how are we going to vote on this bill? Just wonderful. And seeing the daffodils on the table, I know that Friday was a cancer day here. Yesterday, the day for the Susan Komen Race for the Cure, you had Susan Thomas here. Each year, Jane puts together a wonderful team for the Race for the Cure. And, you know, Bobby is a breast cancer survivor. Last year, she and I spoke about the importance of the work of the Komen Foundation. And then this New Year's Day, we did what I'd be hoping we could have done for a long time, and she finally said yes. And today I'm wearing the wedding ring, and I'm so pleased that Bobby is willing to say I do. It's only fitting that I'm standing here speaking with Tony Ross missing, because the first speech I gave in the United States Senate was 3 a.m. They were having one of those all-nighters, and the way they set it up is when they have an all-nighter, you want one person from each party kind of watching, and they figured it was only 2 weeks I've been a senator, and hey, I was a trauma surgeon, used to be being awake all night, so let the new guy stay up all night and sit there and watch and then talk to keep things going. So I did what we do here, where you stand waiting to be recognized, but in the U.S. Senate it's different. You actually have to say, you know, Mr. President, and then they recognize you. And I was standing there waiting to be recognized, and I said, this must be like Tony feels, and he's having a Tony moment. And he would stand his first time here, and Grant Larson, our president at the time, would say, Senator Ross, and he'd say, no, I'm just standing up. I'm not, no. And that's how it felt. There are some similarities. Back there, you go there and you kind of start to get oriented and meeting people. And John Warner, who's been there for 30 years, senator from Virginia, used to be married to Elizabeth Taylor. Early on, he said, Senator, I want to talk with you about something very important. I said, well, this is pretty impressive. I mean, this guy had been Secretary of the Navy and, you know, done all these things. I went over to his desk, kind of like I do over with Chuck Townsend when he says, come over here, I want to talk to you. So went and sat next to him. I said, yes, Senator Warner, what is it? He said, it's my left knee. Just like here. Those are similarities. Bill Lannon is actually a very quick learner. I've been there for 5 years sitting in that desk. Today, he has his picture in the paper twice on the same page. So I need to visit with him and get some tips on how to get that done. So 5 days and you've done it. So congratulations. There are some real differences, though, between the way we do things here and the way they do things there. And Washington needs to take some lessons from the Wyoming legislature. You know, we do kind of single-topic bills. The amendments all have to be germane. We have a line-item veto. We have to balance our budget every year. And then when they have conference committees back there in Washington, it's not just to kind of come to what the differences are and come up with the agreement. The whole thing opens up, and they can throw anything in. And that's why they have so much trouble there. So I think Washington needs to continue to take lessons from Wyoming. The yesterday was President's Day, and there are just a couple of things I wanted to say. One is, if you're driving from here to Laramie, and there's that Abraham Lincoln bust in the place where we can stop alongside of the road, there's a quote there from Lincoln, and it says, this is at this time, we need to think anew and act anew. And I see you're doing that because of what's happening with what's happening worldwide, you know, what we're doing with carbon dioxide and the bills on sequestration, what we're doing with the University of Wyoming and General Electric, all of those things to take us into the future as the world is looking for cleaner sources of energy. So I want to congratulate the legislature for doing what Abraham Lincoln told us to do. We must think anew and act anew. And the reason I think things are so good for Wyoming is, you know, Teddy Roosevelt came to Laramie in 1903, and he stood on the side of Old Main to give a talk, and I have a picture of this in my waiting room in Washington. And he stood up there, and he said, people of Wyoming, and 10,000 people showed up in Laramie in 1903 to see him, which, you know, from our population at that time, I mean, it was an incredible turnout. And he said, people of Wyoming, I believe in you and in your future. And he was right to believe in us, because our future continues to be very bright. And then Ronald Reagan came here to Story Gym in Cheyenne about 26 years ago, and he was here campaigning, and he said the thing he loved about the Rocky Mountain West is that people here still believe that the future is ours to shape. And that's what I love about the Wyoming legislature, and specifically the Wyoming Senate. We here do know that the future is ours to shape, and we look forward to a bright future, because our best days are still in the future. So it is great to be back at home. Any of you who need to get to me, you know, I got this office, I got staff people, we have an office here. We want to help, but if you really need to meet me, my cell phone number is the same. I know some of you still have it in your speed dial. If you want to get me in the email, I still keep active my state Senate email address so you can get me, although I'm now paying for that. I'm paying for that personally. Don't worry about it. But you can get me directly that way. I want to help in any way that I can. And thanks so very much for making me feel back at home and so very welcome. Thank you. Appreciate all the work you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, and come back again, please. Reports from standing committees.
February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 88, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Geis, Hastert, Johnson, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 76, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Allman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 87, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Allman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 81, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Allman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 40, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Burns, DiCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 12, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Geis, Hastert, Johnson, Landon, and Von Platern, Senator Von Platern, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 31, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Geis, Hastert, Johnson, Landon, and Von Platern, Senator Von Platern, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 41, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, and Larson. No, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 18, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration, sponsored by Senator Mockler, has an appropriation, and I ask that you re-refer it to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, Senate File 87 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, consent list today is Senate File 2, Select Natural Resources Funding Committee, Chairmanship, Senate File 6, Cost of Emergency Detention Limitations, Senate File 8, Farm Loan Program, Senate File 10, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations, Senate File 21, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Senate File 25, National Guard Life Insurance Contributions Option, Senate File 30, Commercial Vehicle Licensing, Senate File 32, Border Parole, Authorizing Changes in Length of Parole, Senate File 43, Reportable Animal Disease List, Senate File 44, Residential Mortgages Practices Act, Senate File 49, Impact Assistance Payments, Senate File 51, Mentor Hunter Program, Senate File 64, Valid Court Orders.
On the consent list are Senate File 2, Select Natural Resources Funding Committee, Chairmanship, Senate File 6, Cost of Emergency Detentions Limitations, Senate File 8, Farm Loan Program, Senate File 10, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations, Senate File 21, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Senate File 25, National Guard Life Insurance Contribution Option, Senate File 30, Commercial Vehicle Licensing, Senate File 32, Board of Parole, Authorizing Changes in Length of Parole, Senate File 43, Reportable Animal Disease List, Senate File 44, Residential Mortgages Practices Act, Senate File 49, Impact Assistance Payments, Senate File 51, Mentor Hunter Program, and Senate File 64, valid court orders. Would any member like any Senate file removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 2, Select Natural Resources Funding Committee Chairmanship. Senate File 6, Cost for Emergency Detentions Limitations. Senate File 8, Farm Loan Program. Senate File 10, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations. Senate File 21, Hathaway Scholarship Program. Senate File 25, National Guard Insurance Contribution Option. Senate File 30, Commercial Vehicle Licensing. Senate File 32, Board of Parole Authorizing Changes in Length of Parole. Senate File 43, Reportable Animal Disease List. Senate File 44, Residential Mortgages Practices Act. Senate File 49, Impact Assistance Payments. Senate File 51, Mentor Hunter Program, and Senate File 64, Valid Court Orders. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Fecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job, Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross excused, Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 2, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 2, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 6, are there any changes? Closing the vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 6, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 8, are there any changes?
Case, I to no.
Scott, conflict. Massey, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 8, 26 ayes, 2 noes, 1 conflict. And one excused. Senate File 10, are there any changes? Case, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Senate File 10, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. Senate File 21, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 25, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 25, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 30, are there any changes? Closing vote. closing, vote closed. Senate File 30, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 32, are there any changes? Closing vote, closing, vote closed. Senate File 32, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 43, are there any changes? Closing vote, closing, vote closed. Senate File 43, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 44, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote, closing, vote closed. Senate File 44, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. Senate File 49, are there any changes? Perkins, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Townsend, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 49, 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused. Senate File 51, are there any changes? Larson conflict to aye. Mockler, aye to no.
Burns, aye to
no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 51, 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused. Senate File 64, are there any changes? Closing vote, closing, vote closed. Senate File 64, 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 2, Select Natural Resources Funding Committee Chairmanship, Senate File 6, Cost for Emergency Detention Limitations, Senate File 8, Farm Loan Program, Senate File 10, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations, Senate File 21, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Senate File 25, National Guard Life Insurance Contribution Option, Senate File 30, Commercial Vehicle Licensing, Senate File 32, Board of Parole Authorizing Changes in Length of Parole, Senate File 43, Reportable Animal Disease List, Senate File 44, Residential Mortgages Practices Act, Senate File 49, Impact Assistance Payments, Senate File 51, Mentor Hunter Program, and Senate File 64, Valid Court Orders, have passed the Senate. Senate File 7, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 7, Animal Damage Management Program, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, and Act relating to the Animal Damage Management Program, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, Senator.
This morning we have with us the Skills USA Community Service Team and their skills advisor, Les Beacom. These are part of the Triumph students, and they're here to celebrate career and technical education. And the thing I like about them is they brought candy bars. But they're up here if you'd welcome them to the Senate. Thank you.
Welcome, sir. Welcome, students, and enjoy your day in the Capitol. Senate File 7, having been read three separate times, the question is...
No idea what they do.
Oh, there is an amendment. I'll be darned. Is this a train bill or what? We do have an amendment. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 7... The Joe Burns Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 7, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Jobe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading number 1 to Senate File number 7 and ask for the body's favorable support. Mr. President, I'm bringing this for several reasons. The first is the animal damage folks themselves ask for an extension of their sunset, not necessarily the removal. They ask for that to be extended to 2015. What this amendment does is it extends the sunset date to 2014, which does come after a budget session, like was requested on the floor the other day. That's what the amendment does, but the reason I'm bringing it is that we require a lot of things of other programs that are not required of this program. And I think now that I've even done more research, this is the only checks and balance that we have on this program. And if we take this off, it will, as was said on the floor many times yesterday, things get lost in the budget. And I think at some point in the future, you're going to want to come back and take a look at this program. It is doing some good things, and I would have to admit that, although that's hard. but it is fair to have a checks and balance on them. Number one, you've heard yesterday, and we'll hear more today, that every position that comes into state government is scrutinized. They have hired 19 positions, and if you follow the money, it goes back to general fund money. So those are positions that haven't been scrutinized. They do require fees, but there is only one program out of the four under this umbrella that has other funds coming in to support it. There are supposed to be livestock brand fees, wildlife damage stamp, landowner coupons, predator boards, and the game and fish. To date, they've only collected about 68% of those fees. Zero livestock brand fees. And only $961 out of 1,000 from the damage stamp. So I think somebody needs to be looking at this as far as revenues that are supposed to be coming in and if they are coming in. There are no caps. If you look at the Wildlife Resource Trust Fund, we have a $2,000 cap. There's a lot of scrutiny there. There are no caps on these grants and aids payments. In fact, Lincoln County gets $511,000. My county gets almost as much, and I'm not sure why, and this was not explained in the budget process. We have no oversight from the legislation on this program. We do on our other wildlife projects, and there's no approval. So you've got a program that's supposed to be having fees come in. It's not to the extent they're supposed to. They are hiring positions, whether those are warranted or not. They've never had to explain that. And so I think it is just good process that we do have at least one mechanism to come back and look at this program and give it the same scrutiny that we give everything else. And, Mr. President, I don't plan on a second time, but thank you.
Senator Bebaugh.
Thank you, Mr. President. Very reluctantly, on and against the amendment, And it's good to hear my good friend from Sweetwater County talking about the good things in this program. I just wanted to address a few things, and I would ask that you defeat the amendment. First of all, about the positions. As I understand it, these positions do not work for the state. They are federal positions. They work for the federal government. They've been in place for a long period of time. What the Animal Damage Management Program does is contract with those people to provide the services that they perform. This has been going on, as I said, for a long period of time. She's correct in the fees, that there are four different fees that we have, but I would add to that that there's one substantial amount of that. That's what the producers pay, and that's about $1 million. Now, they can't have a rebate program. That question came up the other day. Only 2% of the people asked for their funds back, and those 2% are people from out of state to bring their cattle into the state to graze for the summer, then take them out, so it probably makes sense that they would ask for that refund. The money on the caps, and you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's two programs we have here. One is the board itself, which does the thing that it's done for since 1999. And that function is working very well. They also now are involved in the appropriation this body put together last year for the $6 million, which is really another issue, and how they fund that. That money goes to the counties. They have to have the dollar per cow on the producer's fees. But there is a board locally, and that board is comprised of 3 members supported by the ag industry, 3 from cattle, 3 from sheep, 3 from wildlife, 1 at large. The 3 from wildlife side of it, 1 at large, are appointed by the county commissioners. If there's accountability we need to have, maybe what we should look at is that appropriation that's out there that will fund this to the tune of $5.7 million and do that. This is a program that really works, and the senator from Sweetwater County is right. When they came to the committee, they only wanted an extension. But as I looked at it, too, I saw that it really does work. I think we have the necessary way to monitor it. It's every year the funding that goes to these boards will come up. It's their one-time funds every couple of years, so I would ask that you defeat the amendment.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. Mr. President, nobody is really arguing that the Animal Damage Management Program is bad. I'm not arguing that. The question we have here is, should the sunset on this be repealed to the point where it's no longer reviewed by the legislature? It currently does not have the mechanisms of oversight, as the senator from Sweetwater mentioned, that other government programs have, such as the Wildlife Trust Fund. That's got a $200,000 cap on it before the legislature goes back and reviews that. This doesn't have any of that. The reason this amendment is on here is because the thing's about to sunset, and so you have a choice right now to just completely remove any sunset, and disappears in the program, and there's no more legislative oversight on this, or that it sunsets after the budget session in 2014, we come back and take another look at it and see how beneficial it is. And I think that is a prudent thing to do, especially in light of the coming delisting of wolves, and to see what happens there. And I think it's only good government that we go ahead and do this, because to try and defeat the bill kills the program. That's not what we want to do. All we want is the legislature to come back and revisit this in 2014.
Senator Geis.
On and against the amendment, you can call for an audit of this department anytime you want. This body can call and have the management audit any one of these departments and any one of these entities anytime we want to.
Further discussion. The question is on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 7. All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor of the amendment, please stand. All those opposed, please stand.
No.
Third reading, amendment number 1 to Senate File 7 has failed to pass the Senate. We are back on the bill, having been read three separate times. Senate File 7, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Fecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross excused.
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Case,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 10 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 7, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 7 has passed the Senate. Senate File 45, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 45, School Districts, Payment of Employee Association Dues, sponsored by Senator Larson, an act relating to school districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I respectfully ask that Senate File 45 be laid back for one day.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Oops, sorry. Senator Case.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
Senator Case, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, we are fortunate today to have some students and staff from St. Stephen's Indian School here. As you know, this is a public, federally operated school, and we supplement the St. Stephen's budget. I'd like you to help me welcome some of the students. Dwayne Makeshine, Natasha Antelope, Shanice Antelope, Brent Spoonhunter, Maurice Darren, Travis Truon, Jake Yellowplume, their chaperones are Viola Antelope, Fred Antelope, and William Porter. Some of the administrators, Katie Bowker, she's the high school principal. Marilyn Grossbeck, she's the elementary school principal. Lewis Headley's the superintendent. Got the school board here. Everybody comes down to watch you guys. Dominic Little Shields here, he's the board chairman. Hi, Dominic. William C. Hare, he's the board member. And we've got two folks from the Arapaho Business Council, and they're having a reception tonight, Mr. President. Be sure and attend. We've got Norman Willow. He's on the school board and the Arapaho Business Council. And we've got Harvey Spoonhunter, who's chairman of the Northern Arapaho Business Council. And I think Eddie Watt is up there. He's our Shoshone liaison. It shows we all work together around
Mark
in Fremont
Harris
County.
Standing up.
And Senator Mark Harris, he is standing, Mr. President. Welcome him, everybody. Thanks for coming. Oh, one more thing. Today is Jake Yellowplume's 18th birthday. Yeah, Jake. When we come down, Mr. President.
Welcome. Welcome to you all. Enjoy your day here at the Capitol. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole for further work on Senate File 1. And, Mr. President, I might also, I should have said this first, but a warning or a notice that we will probably start at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, so committees can make any adjustment that's necessary. So I move then that we resolve all sections of the committee of the whole.
I believe we get to vote on whether we're going to committee of the whole. I do not believe we get to vote on whether we want to start at 9 o'clock. I believe that's what's going to happen. The motion is that the Senate convene as committee of the whole. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Who have we got here today? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. And as yesterday, we're going to continue on with Budget Bill, Senate File 1. I guess I was told the reading clerk needs to read the bill in again.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations. Sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2008.
And as yesterday, I intend on also leaving Senator Nicholas's microphone open through the duration of the completion of the budget. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would like to address some of the items, and then we'll, if other members of the committee have things that they would like to address on questions that were left open that they now have answers to. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about the issues that came up during the Department of Health. First, I did actually give you the correct numbers on the health care financing and Medicaid programs. There is a general increase of from the standard budget of $909 million to it got standardized up to another $44 million, and we are now at $962 million for the Medicaid program. There's a handout that looks like this document. If you want to see what that program looks like, the first sheet is the codes for the Medicaid programs, and then on the second page you'll see a spreadsheet which shows how the Department of Health tracks the these programs. And what you're going to see, and as the senator from Casper pointed out, that there are some savings that we are seeing in some of the Medicaid programs, but we're also seeing some pretty large increases in other programs. When you speak with the fiscal officer for the department, I think he generally says it's right now it's too soon to see any trends. We do see some increases and decreases, but on balance, there is an increase in the general fund appropriation for the Medicaid program. That is in response to the question of where is the Medicaid program now, where is it going? With respect to positions in the Department of Health, there were 15 positions that showed up in there. 11 or some the new positions, three of those positions came for the implementation of the colorectal program, which is provided by our bills. We have 9 AWACS added for the state hospital. The principal reason for that is they couldn't find help to do the maintenance. They're competing with the oil and gas industry, and they determined that it was going to be less expensive for them to hire AWACS to do that much of that major maintenance. There is 3 positions for interns without funding, and there are 5 positions for it'll come to me as soon as I read my writing. I'll come back to that after I read my letter. With respect to the colorectal program, we did go over that with the sponsor of that original amendment, but there is $960,000 in the program. There's $600,000 carryover, $212,000 in the standard budget, and in this new budget there was an additional $148,000 put in. There will be some discussion, I think, through amendments whether or not that's enough to take us through the biennium. With respect to the occupancy rate at the for the mental health and substance abuse beds, I think the report I had was the explanation I'd given yesterday on the 85% occupancy was correct. That was a group agreed to by all of the groups and the department as an appropriate level of occupancy to help pay for those beds. There has to be some a little bit of skin in the game, but the 85% takes care of it. With respect to other handouts that you're seeing, I'll talk about later just so you'll know where to park them. The later in Section 300s, we'll be talking about cities, towns, and counties. There's two handouts that came in. One is with more of the silos. We'll talk about that later. And then there's one that was a WAM proposal, and we'll talk about those later. We'll do that in the Section 300s. And one of the things that we'll talk about, and I'll find out more of an answer before we hit the Section 300, and that is how do we make amendments to the Section 300s. And I think we're leaning right now with the approval of the leadership and with and checking it through the LSO staff is instead of having forcing people to put in text to implement the Section 300, knowing that this is just going to be for the biennium, if you we'll do amendments just by putting in a spreadsheet, and we'll actually incorporate the spreadsheet into the budget bill, and that way we don't have to be worried about people trying to say, well, how do I even get into the text of this instrument? A little bit like we did with education, where we actually adopted tables, and one difference is these tables will actually be in the bill as opposed to something we adopt by reference. But we'll confirm that later today if make sure that staff agrees with that we can do it. With that in mind, Mr. Chairman, I move. We're back on, if you look at your cheat sheet, you're on page 10 of 25. And on your bill, we're on page 33. And I move Section 57, Community College Commission. And for an explanation, turn it over to Senator Meyer.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I get into community colleges, I do need to address a couple of things that President Schiffer asked, and this has to do with the Secretary of State and the need for some extra for an extra position in there. We related that there was an increase in registrations and business activity. The specific increase numbers was that in 2004 they had $7.8 million. Of revenue in 2006, it went up to 10.1. That's a difference of 2.3 million. Most of the revenue is in $50 and $100 increments. If you do $100 increments, that's an increase of $230,000 over the biennium from those 2 years, and that's actually stale data, so we've got a bigger increase than that. There is also a substantial increase in trademark registrations from fiscal year 04. It was about 58,000, and in fiscal year 06, it was about 74,000. So a substantial increase in there. Frankly, the volume of business that the Secretary of State's office was doing was just overwhelming for the one person in that area. If you look at the $10 million in revenue, that's a million transactions a year. I think it's probably less than that, because I'm sure some transactions are larger than that, but it's a very large number, and they were just getting swamped. That was the reason for that particular increase. The other question that I had that I couldn't answer was the reduction in the numbers of in the audit division, in the minerals division, in the Department of Audit. I talked to Director Giese today, and frankly, that was just an error in the budget by staff. Inadvertently, 2 years ago, they had put in five when they only approved four. when they dropped it from, I think, 46 to 45, that just corrected the numbers that were supposed to be in the budget. So that was just an error that staff did when they were preparing the budget 2 years ago, carried into this year, and they corrected it. So that was the difference in the minerals. So, Mr. Chairman, going on to the community colleges, that's on page 33 in your budget bill, page 10 in your cheat sheet. Primarily, the community colleges got by fairly well, but there were quite a few denials. The Community College Commission put in a new funding formula system. JAC had a little bit of, trepidation or heartburn on their new funding formula. It had some what we felt were unintended consequences if it was funded at the entire rate. If you look at this little thing that's been passed out, you can see there's two colleges. If they got their extra $14 million, got absolutely nothing, a couple of goose eggs. That I think was Casper and Powell. And it penalized those colleges for having a carryover. They had a carryover of 8%, which was statutory allowed by us, but they put that carryover into their formula in such a manner that it penalized them in the new funding formula that they had had, and we felt that was something that was probably shouldn't work that way. I've talked to Jim Rose. They said they put this budget together last August. They didn't have agreement in how to handle that. They do have agreement in now on how they're going to implement that, so there won't be that problem going into the future. We may talk about that later. But for now, the administration has a total budget of $6.6 million. The state aid was $219 million and change. The contingency reserve was $1.6 million. Leveraging ed assistance partnerships was $337,000. I'm rounding these off a little bit. An incentive fund for education was $500,000. Adult basic ed, that's getting the GEDs, it goes to the community colleges, about $4.4 million. The nursing program that we've enacted to help in nursing and keep nursing in the state of Wyoming and expand that, that was about $5.5 million. Veterans tuition program, that's fairly self-explanatory, $400,000. Teacher shortage loan program, again, that's to keep teachers in the state. That was $800,000. Public television is primarily where we made most of our footnotes. I'll go into those. In that particular area there, the JAC reduced a endowment from the governor's rec from $2.5 million down to $1.5 million. We took some of the savings that we had out of that and prioritized some things that we wanted to do in the area of public television. One, we added a full-time position. This was in grants and aids payments. They had a part-time position that worked about 6 hours a week as a contractor to do their webmaster and graphics design. That position, that particular individual is no longer going to be available at part-time. They wanted to do a full-time position to really expand their outreach. So basically public television would be online video and audio streaming. It could make it additional content available through K through 12 schools and colleges anytime, anywhere. And would also be able to provide universal access 24/7. That's something that we particularly in a lot of the rural areas of the state, we don't have access to Wyoming public television. This would allow access to all parts of the state. We felt that was very important and funded that. Went into the other area where the governor denied $808,000 for looking at high-definition upgrade. JAC added $404,400 to that, which is basically half of what the governor wanted. We felt that we would give them that much. They could try to find a match for the rest of it. And that had to do with some of their high-definition facilities and upgrading that. And that was one of their key goals of their strategic plan. All in all, we reduced the budget by $455,000 when it's all balanced out. And we end up with a grand total of $244,851,352. If you go through the budget line by line, there were quite a few denials, and I think most of it from the governor's standpoint and I think from JAC's was just maybe the formula wasn't quite fully done and quite baked yet, and we wanted to find out how it would really interact. I think they're getting closer to that, and we may be able to do something in the near future.
Are you lobbying your bill now?
No, it's not a bill. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wondered if the good senator could explain to us what this contingency reserve, $1.6 million contingency reserve, was all about, and maybe, you know, what are some of the qualifying expenses that could fit under contingency reserve?
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I sure can. I'll get right to the page here, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I read that just a few minutes ago. I'm going to have to get through and get right back to my right page here.
26.
Yeah, I've got 26, and I have to see 7 community colleges, school lease bonuses are capped at $1.6 million. Mr. Chairman, if I recall, I think it's for things like major maintenance in those categories, where someone might have a roof or a boiler or something like that go out. And that's what I would say it is right now. And if it is anything different than that, Mr. Chairman, I'll certainly get back to the body on that.
Any other questions, comments on Section 57, Community Colleges? Senator Sessions.
Are the raises that are the raises built into this budget for community college personnel?
Any other comments? Am I going to respond to that?
What was the question?
Senator Meyer.
Thank you. The raises for college personnel were kept in there. I think it was maybe miscategorized by the governor's office with the budget. If you remember last year, the good senator from Park County brought that $11 million into the budget. And I think we all felt that it was going to be part of the standard budget and going forward. The governor, I believe, characterized it as an exception. And so, but the money got in there. It was just as an exception rather than part of the standard budget. Now it's in there, so when it comes back in the next go-around, it'll be part of the standard budget.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, now I'm getting confused. The $219 million, is that under the proposed new funding formula, or is that under the old funding formula? And if it's under the new funding formula, did you take into account both the pay raise factors that are built into it and the inflationary and the cost of doing business factors that are built into it? Are they included in these, or is this the old funding formula? The reason I ask is the new funding formula has never been to rulemaking. And I'm trying to figure out whether we're anticipating that we're going to hold rulemaking and then approve, or whether we're appropriating under the old formula. Where are we at with this, Hummer?
Senator Sessions. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as far as I know, it is under the new funding formula that the commission has, I believe, gone through the rulemaking process, with the exception of where they're going to change the 8% on from on the monies. And anyway, this is what they developed. Now, whether it has actually gone through the rulemaking process, all of it, I know all of it hasn't gone through the whole rulemaking process. So that's I can tell the body that, but I know that this formula was developed using the proposed new funding formula, from my understanding.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the with respect to the community colleges, this is the standard budget appropriation as adjusted. And the so we have built over up a standard budget over time. There was a dispute with respect to whether or not you recall the $11 million. The governor's and the budget office said we should only be funding the percentage of raises allocated to those employees. Or if we're 60% of the paying 60% of the budget, we should only pay 60% of the raises. This body said no. We should pay 100%. So at this point, 100% of those salary increases are added to the standard budget. So this is the standard budget appropriation for colleges. Now the next question is how are the dollars allocated among the community colleges? The allocation model it's not a funding model, it's an allocation model. The last allocation model is the one that has been formally adopted. We have a new allocation model, and when you do the new allocation model, it does shift dollars around because they have a new mechanism for trying to allocate. And there's a proposal that if we put in the new model that there are losers in it and there ought to be a hold harmless, so it takes $15 million to implement the new model. The governor's office said before you implement the new model, you need to go through a rulemaking process. It's my understanding they're going through that, and there will be public hearings on that. So at this point, my understanding is the only allocation model that's outstanding that can be implemented is the old model. They want to bring in the new model, but that will go through the rulemaking process. But the term of art is allocation model, and that is these are the dollars that we've appropriated. Now, how the community colleges divide it up among themselves, among the colleges, the allocation of the dollars that are in the standard budget, that's the allocation model. And is, to my knowledge, there is some assumption that the new model may become adopted, but it's not adopted at this point.
Any further discussion on Section 57? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, discussion I have is with regard to the statements that were made earlier concerning the Medicaid program, and I didn't get an opportunity to seek the floor at that point. Is this the appropriate time to bring that up, or do you want to defer that to later? Or?
Okay. We can. I think we can do that now.
Okay,
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to add one thing because I participated in the discussions with the chief financial officer from the health department. It is clear that the increase in the Medicaid budget that is there is as a result of bringing in some items that are part of Medicaid but haven't been shown in the budget in the past and have just been put in through the B-11 process for a number of years. One of them is the Intergovernmental Transfer Program. That was authorized by this legislature 6-7 years ago, something like that, and has been handled outside the official Medicaid budget. So when you look at the actual expenditures in Medicaid, they are, in fact, down slightly from where they were in the previous biennium. And that is a number of reasons for it. They've got some disease management programs there. They've reduced the number of people going through nursing homes, even though the nursing home reimbursement is up. There's a number of reasons, but it is a real compliment to our program, and that trend is continuing, and it shows in the pass out that came out to you.
Mr. Chairman, and to add to that, one of the questions that was asked yesterday that I forgot to address, in the handout that I had provided on Medicaid, there was a $41 million of reversions and previous, and then a B-11 adding the dollars in. The $41 million added in, those are transfers of programs or funding from DFS and into the department. So historically, we appropriated the money for the foster care program through DFS, B-11 those funds into the Department of Health, and we are changing that process now. So this one of the things that we've done this budget year is moved around programs to reflect the actual expenditures of the dollars in the appropriate programs. So that B-11 process for that, for the foster care, the other one is the intergovernmental transfer program, and those two programs are being moved in, and we'll have a more a better, more easy, well, I guess the answer is, the way to describe it is that we'll be now budgeting where the dollars actually flow, so the B-11 process won't be so heavily relied upon.
Any other comments, questions on Section 57, Community Colleges? Seeing none, are you ready to vote on Senator Nicholas's motion of adopting Section 57 to Senate File 1? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Section 57 is passed. Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, up here in the gallery, you'll see the Crest Hill Elementary class, their teacher, Amy Sorensen. They've traveled down here today to see how the Senate works. Rumor has it, this could be the best fifth grade class in the state. So give them a big Senate welcome, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Welcome to the Senate. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move Section 60 of the budget, Office of State Lands and Investment. For an explanation, turn it over to Senator Job.
Senator Job. Senator Job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to answer a few of the questions too from yesterday before I move on with the state lands. Regarding Wildlink and towers, the answer that I received is they are not building any more towers right now. There might be a need for some in the future when they identify where there might be gaps. And that might be a lot, I'm not sure, but from some of the comments I'm getting. But right now they aren't building any more towers. There is $12 million in the Department of Transportation's budget for Wildlink, and $4 million of that is a grant to help local communities build up the backbone, and I think there is a matching requirement on that. Regarding Wildlink, I was just handed a one-page budget explanation request, so I will sign this, and this will come your way if you want to dig into the details. So that'll be coming your way. The industrial road program yesterday, the answer I received is that historically it provides $4 million per biennium from state transportation funds to locals to help with industrial roads. This doesn't address the question totally, though, because I think the question was all that money spent? That's how much is available. They are targeted at county roads impacted by industrial activity. My suspicion is that all that money is spent because later on in the budget presentation you'll hear where we recommended another $7 million go into that purpose. But I will check and see exactly how that was spent and where it went and follow up on that again. So in the next biennium there will be $11 million available for that purpose. Regarding federal funds versus state funds in the Department of Transportation, the $200 million that we have in the biennium general fund appropriations would bring the federal share of funding to 60% for the highways with 40% state funding. The national average is actually the reverse of that, where states put in 60% and the feds 40%. So we're still a little ahead of the game there. On the question about the Office of Consumer Advocate in the Public Service Commission, I had asked for and I've had distributed their annual report from 2007. You can look at that and make your own determination. They do have a pretty good track record, but I'll let you decide that for yourself. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, then I will address the Office of State Lands and Investments. I think one of the benefits of being on the Joint Appropriations Committee, in addition to working with my four colleagues there, is that you get to take a really good look at state agencies, and you learn a tremendous amount. And whenever I deal with this agency, I'm always struck by the breadth of responsibility they have and how important it is to the well-being of our state. And I'm also struck by how well they do their job. Having said that, the state lands and investment, we only added a footnote to their budget. We went totally with the governor's recommendations that said that we would continue collecting the annual assessments from counties for the emergency fire suppression account. Right now, that has a cap of $5 million on that. I believe a bill is coming through to remove that. But we said that we would continue collecting that money. This is an insurance plan for those counties, and fires are more frequent and they are definitely more expensive. So we'd like to keep the county share flowing into that account. Mr. Chairman, that's all we did. The State Lands and Investments Board has a total budget of $74,657,000. Of that, $27,911 are general funds. And the only other big issue that we spoke about in the agency hearing was the state trust lands management account, and that, too, is coming through in a bill. So we'll have a chance to discuss that separately. So, Mr. Chairman, I would entertain any questions on that agency.
Any further discussion? Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, did you change the mineral royalty grants to a Section 300 rather than leave it in this budget?
Senator Jobe.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Any further discussion? Senator Scott.
Chairman, and I suppose maybe it's unfair to pick on state lands, but looking at the current proposal, we're talking about their program operations as $14,623,000. When you look at the budget we passed in 2006, that same line item was $11,767,000, was increased in the last year in the general session to $12,588,000. But we're seeing quite an increase in that operation line item. And I suppose maybe that's typical all the way through, but that's certainly quite a big growth in the cost of government. There were four positions added last year, but still from the totals that we had even last year, you're seeing a big increase. What's producing that kind of increase?
Senator Jobe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I might need some help from our chairman on this. But I think if you would look at the base budgets for any agency and then you would look at the standard budget for any and every agency, you would see an increase that is fairly startling. And that difference between the base and the standard budget is due to increased benefits that we have, the 1% for retirement payments. It is the raises that we have given our state employees. All that, all those benefits and salary increases that we've already passed are rolled into that standard budget, and it does create a startling increase. But it's not just true of this agency, it's true across the board. So, Mr. Chairman, if that's not adequate, I would get more information on that.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to say that the amount here is wrong, but it is going up and going up much faster than the inflation rates that are reported. Somehow there's going to be quite an escalation in our so-called standard budgets. And I guess I'm asking a general question. Does the Appropriations Committee scrutinize what's causing those standard budget increases that seem to be, and I suspect they're just across the board? This agency just struck me as striking.
Senator Jobe.
Mr. Chairman, the answer to that is yes and no. The base budget is the total amount of money that agency received in the last biennium. And then the budget office works on adjusting those according to the statutes and the legislation that we've passed. They roll everything we've done into that base budget, and that becomes the standard budget. And so we look at what we start with is the standard budget and go forward with it from there with the governor's recommendations. The piece between the base budget and the standard budget is given to us. It's called the Chapter 17 report. That is a huge, that report's probably about this deep. If you want to sort through that, you can track every change made from the base budget to the standard. But quite frankly, we don't have the kind of time to track through that. So we start with the standard budget, and we get a brief summary report of the Chapter 17 report. So that's the scrutiny that gets.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator from Casper had asked the question. I'm not sure which lines he was reading on because I've forgotten the numbers, but within this agency, the standard budget grew, or the base budget grew from $44 million to $45 million. That's the Section 100. The real growth in this, it jumped in the 900 series. It went from $320 million to $418 million. Now, that growth represents the standardization of a $108 million of cities, towns, and counties grant, which was the grant dollars that went in for the last biennium. Now, my recollection is we put in a footnote to one of the budgets to direct the governor to make an appropriation for the cities, towns, and county or account within his budget of at least about $100 million. Having said that, that 108 to determination of whether or not it is standardized really became somewhat irrelevant because we are appropriating more than that. But as we go down the pike, there's the notion that we're going to standardize that budget for cities, towns, and counties is always open for discussion. It's a big lump of money. But by one of the things that happens, if we standardize that budget and in the tune of a $300 million, then when the Craig report makes its report and revenues and the governor puts out his budget, by standardizing it, it looks like there's less money available or surplus available. If you don't standardize it, then all of a sudden it looks like you got $400 million when in fact you have not made your commitment to cities, towns, and counties. So from an appropriations point of view, I think generally we're okay with standardizing those dollars that we think that are likely to reoccur, and then when the surpluses are reported, they're more accurate, and so it's okay. Now, having said that, I'm not sure if I was reading off of the right line. If the senator give me those numbers again, we'll take another stab at it.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was actually looking at the operations category that is the first of the line items in the budget in this office, and in In 2006, in the budget we passed, it was $11,767,000. Last year, we increased that to $12,588,000. Now we're going to $14 million, and $623,000, so an increase of $2 million or a little over 14% in just 1 year at a time when inflation is not nearly that fast. And that's, I'm really wondering, are our standard budgets growing much faster than inflation? And is that something we need to be generally concerned about, or is there something special about this agency?
Any further discussion on Section 60? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Section 60 to Senate File 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Section 60 has passed this. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, with respect to the answer to that last question, I think the answer is we have to worry about all of these operations. And what's happened is that we have seen an enormous creep in our Series 100s. That's why we're looking at these positions. And I think it always happens to the Appropriations Committee, and part of the reason why it's good to have this scrutiny is that we look at these budgets unit by unit, and we look position by position. And oftentimes what is happening here, people look and said, well, you've added 30 to 40 positions across the government. Now, there's 8,000 positions there, but that doesn't mean, in a sense, 30 to 35 positions doesn't look, when you're looking at it unit by unit, doesn't look that great. When you take a step back, people say, well, wait a minute. If you've already got 8,000 employees, why do you need an extra 34? But the Section 100, you have our health insurance rates are going up. There is also standardized in salary increases, which have been significant. Not only have we given 3 to 4% annual adjustments for cost of living increases, we've also put in significant money into market adjustments to talk about the things that we talked about yesterday, where salaries have, we thought that they were under the markets. And the total of that is significant. And whether or not the creep that you're talking about is through additional positions that we put in the appropriation, the standardized in, or whether it's just a general increase cost of salaries, that's one we would have to go back and look at it. And if we wanted to take this as an example of agency to go back and look at it, we'll do that. But when you start rolling in 3% and it compounds out, so the first 3% of the biennium turns into 9%, the 3%, 3%, 6%. Then you put another 4%. Now you've got a 12% increase. And if you're increasing your salaries, it moves up quite a bit. And so as we add more positions, it is significant. And they're great questions. We do look at it, but it is different. It's entirely different when you're going through these budgets unit by unit, and then we come here and you're looking at a whole budget. And we move pretty quickly through all these budgets. So I'm not saying that we do the best job in the world. We do a good job, and sometimes we don't notice those things. So it's good to ask those questions. With that, Mr. Chairman, the next budget is Section 063, Governor's Residence. And for an explanation, turn it over to Senator Townsend.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I need to inform you that the governor said that he would take no part in the recommendation of the president's budget. Apparently the leader of the pack there did that for him. The resident operations were $709,000. The significant part of that is that there was $50,000 added to this budget this year to upgrade the grounds of the resident to make it more efficient with water use and the trees apparently there are too hungry and I was going to ask the question whether we should just maybe have a wood cutting party, but that fell on deaf ears. So, and the other significant amount was $10,000 to update some of the interior parts of the residence.
Any further discussion on Section 63? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Section 63 to Senate File 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Section 63 is passed. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, next budget for consideration is Section 66, the Tourism Board. I move that section. And for next, and I'll do the explanation. The Tourism Board, you'll recall, was under the Business Council. We've now moved their budget out, so they now are submitting their own budget, their base budget, as it moved out of Business Council was $21 million. It was standardized to $23 million, and we are now actually picking it up to $30 million with the budget request. Make sure I got, or 25, no, actually we denied some of those. One of the big ticket items will be in capital construction that you've already heard about, were the $5 million that we took out, which was for the tourism facility south of Cheyenne. With respect to some of the items that the governor recommended and we agreed with are the, we added $374,000 for, to pick up the, We picked up one new position in here, and that is the manning of the new Welcome Center on I-90. We picked up, we continued the film industry $1 million per year. They requested more. The governor did not give them the additional $1 million, but did give them another $50,000 for advertising. We agreed with the governor's rec on those. In terms of statewide advertising, they requested, the governor recommended, and we agreed to add about $1.8 million for advertising for just general Wyoming tourism ad there. They also wanted to put Wi-Fi connections in some of the hot spots for tourism. We agreed there was a $47,000 appropriation, and we agreed with that. And I think that covers generally the new requests in that budget. And with that, I'd stand for questions.
Any further discussion? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question about the Wyoming film industry. The $1 million, is that set up as an incentive to try to get people to come to our state to do filming here and provide some incentive in that regard, or is it just another source of funds that we use for tourism in general and how that money is distributed?
Senator Nicholas.
Chairman, your first characterization is correct. It's a film incentive where we give back some of the sales tax that are paid, essentially an equivalent amount of sales tax that they would have brought into Wyoming. There are rules set up for that reimbursement, but it's really an economic development type funding to encourage entities to come and film in Wyoming.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As I understand it, we haven't had any film companies coming into Wyoming that we got the incentive back. So if we had the $1 million in the budget last year, does it stay in the budget and it accumulates, or does it revert?
And it reverts. Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, it reverts.
Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, one question. I don't see any employee numbers in the documents that I'm looking at. Do you have a number of how many employees in this division?
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, that is a holdover of when they were with the Business Council, where we gave them a grant, and we've asked them to change that and come in with a full, so that as we begin to look in their budgets in the future years, that it begins to look more like an agency budget and less like the Business Council. And I think the answer is yes, we do have an FTE count, and but I'm going to have to pull that out of some other notes.
Any further discussion? Senator Landon.
Senator, just a quick question. We've heard about the facility south of Cheyenne. I just wanted to make sure that this budget does not reflect that expenditure, and if it does not, just wondering when and how we would see that particular item come through, based on the fact that we did learn that we've received some land, et cetera.
Senator Meyer, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, that would have to be a budget amendment that would come through on second reading. So,
any further discussion on Section 66, the Tourism Board? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. And Chairman, in discussing with the staff, they confirmed, Agency 85 was the business council, and you recall that we just gave them the money, and we didn't look at their FTE counts. It was just a sort of a block grant, if you will. When the tourism board went out underneath they went into the section or the business council, they prepared their budgets in the same manner. When they came back out as an agency, Agency 66, they sort of liked the business council way of reporting. We were not satisfied with that. We've asked them to change their budgeting process so we can look at their FTE counts because they are more like an agency. And staff is getting us the FTE count, and I'll have that for you in a moment. With that, did you call for the question on that? I was talking.
Not yet.
Let's go ahead and call for the question.
Question being called. So all those in any further debate on Section 66? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Section 66, Tourism Board, to Senate File 1, please say aye. Those opposed? Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of floor one more time?
Yes, and that section passed. But yes, continue.
Mr. Chairman, up here we have the other half of Crest Hill, fifth grade, led by their teacher, Ms. Lovett. And so if they'll have the kids stand up and give them a Wyoming Senate welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and welcome to the Senate. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. And with that, we move to Section 67, the University of Wyoming. And for discussion, turn it over to Senator Peterson.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 67, University of Wyoming budget. We'll just look off your cheat sheet here for a moment. State aid, the total amount of that was $393,656,128. That appropriation, the JAC did reduce that by $500,000, primarily from the Ruckelhaus Institute request of the governors to help fund the Ruckelhaus Institute mission, and that concerned some of us on the JAC, the suggestion of the mission of that institute, but more so the direction and the request of going specifically to a specific institute was another concern of the JAC, and so the JAC took action and reduced that appropriation completely, the $500,000. We did add $18,000 from the general fund to expand the Wyoming public radio coverage in Rawlins and Saratoga. We did talk about expanding it to KC, but sorry, President, that's not on the board yet, but these two areas, Rawlins and Saratoga, we thought were important, and so that was added to the budget. JAC moved also the governor's recommendation for $17,420,565 to fund the School of Energy Resources and move that to Section 321 using some of that AML money that we'll be receiving. So as we got done with the University of Wyoming budget, it was reduced to $376 million. It's a big number. $753,563, Mr. Chairman. And some of the things just to highlight in this expanded budget request, the libraries were discussed. We need to improve our library at the University of Wyoming campus. Out of the request, requested from the university was $18,800,000. Out of that, the governor recommended $9,362,000, and JEC went along with that, and so we'll be working on the library there. Also, the instruction on excellence, including outreach programs, the request was there, and it was reduced. The governor's recommendation was $3,500,000, with, of course, $500,000 of that going to that Ruckelhaus Institute. We reduced that to just $3 million, for the outreach programs. We've talked about the School of Energy Resources with the AML money. The governor recommended there from the $8 million that was being asked for by the university, the governor recommended $5.3 million that will be coming from the AML money. There was also an endowment matching program, $25 million reoccurring. This continues to fund the endowment matching fund program. Governor's recommendation was $10 million of one-time funds, and the JEC went along with that. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we just kind of hit the highlights of the university and their standard budget, and I'd stand for any questions.
Any questions? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if I could get a little more explanation behind the elimination of the $500,000 for the Ruckelshaus Institute.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, it's an interesting, but it was, here's what happened. The university asked for about $11 million plus for what they called the excellence in education. As part of their proposal, a portion of that money was going to go to the education of and the program, which is the School of Energy Research. So this SER was going to get a percentage of the budget. The governor reduced the university's request down to $3.5 million, but then put in a footnote to say that $500,000 of the 3.5 should be directed to the Ruckelshaus Institute, which is a public policy institute, which generally has runs on different type of funding. The university came and said, we never asked for money for the Ruckelshaus Institute. We just simply said that there were the SER, the School of Energy Research, which is teaching and for excellence in education, they would get a pro rata amount of the dollars that were appropriated. And they still will. But they said it is our understanding that with the $3.5 million, we're going to put that into educational programs, into the excellence, and the Ruckelshaus will not receive it. But when the JAC saw the Ruckelshaus appropriation for $500,000, there was a general discussion with respect to whether the university had requested it, for one. Two, is that part of the plan for excellence in higher education, and the SER is going to share in the other. So the result was that the $500,000 was taken out, and essentially you're going from $3.5 million to $3 million for the university. SER will get their pro rata share of it.
Any further discussion on Section 67? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, with regard to the monies that are in there for the libraries, as you recall from a previous year, we're making an effort to upgrade the university libraries to where they can participate in. There's a regional association of these university libraries that shares materials back and forth, and then a national one. It's our ultimate goal to join that, but we're clearly not eligible yet. Is the money there sufficient to continue to make good progress so that we'll get into that regional association in the near future?
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, the governor's recommendation, he felt, as well as the JAC that went along with this recommendation, felt that it would give them the opportunity to, towards that application for the Western Library Alliance membership in 2012. With additional support during the 2010 session. So I think a little more money, revenue will be required to get us to that end goal. But for this session, we felt that the $9,362,000 was sufficient to get them started in that direction.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to follow up on that, when this floor passed that amendment a couple of sessions ago, we had been shooting for 2010, and we had asked for a budget to be prepared to get us to that point, which is the reason for the university's request for $18 million for the library, because they need to ramp up to that particular point to qualify for that regional library association. And that request was cut in half, thereby delaying it until 2012. But we still will nevertheless need to get up there, and some additional money will need to be provided in the 2010 session if we want to wait another 2 years.
Any further discussion on Section 67? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Section 67 to Senate File 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section passes. Senator Nicholas.
Chairman, that takes us to the Section 69, which is the Wichita Higher Education, also assigned to Senator Peterson.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Get to my notes here. Not much of a change in the WICHE program. I'll just give you a quick update before we cover the amounts. The into the right page here, Mr. Chairman. Not much of a change there, $5,453,400. We did add a footnote, and we just basically suggested that the board require all contracts entered into on or after July 1st, 2008, on or before June 30th, 2010, by students entering the dental and medical program to contain the same Wyoming service requirements as required by the WAMI program administered by the University of Wyoming. And that's, I think, the only suggestion that we made as a JAC was to include that footnote in that budget. And I would stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussions? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The word shall makes it a little bit more than a suggestion if we allow it to stay in there. And this is a significant change from the WICHE program that we've had over the years. The WICHE program, for folks who may not be familiar with it, allows individuals or residents of Wyoming who want to go to the University of Wyoming, but the university doesn't offer certain programs. I mean, we can't be everything. The university can't be everything to everybody. And particularly in the healthcare area, the WICHE program has provided an opportunity for those students to go elsewhere in the western region to certain colleges and universities and pay just the in-state tuition, and then the university picks up the difference between the two. And the same thing happens. The other WICHE states send folks to the University of Wyoming, and it's a way of sharing resources. In the past, we have never required those students to sign an agreement that they come back to practice in the state of Wyoming for a certain period of time in order to forgive the amount of money that the state puts into it. Now, we've done that with our WAMI program and with the program that we just recently started for dentists at the University of Nebraska and at Creighton, I believe, last year. But we've never done it for the WICHE program. So this is a significant change, and it's more than just simply for physicians. Because of the wording in the amendment, medical program, that the medical program encompasses occupational therapists, physical therapists, and a lot of other folks outside of just simply physicians. So this is a significant change in policy through a footnote in the budget.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with my colleague from Albany County. This is a significant change, and it's a change that we've been talking about on JAC. It's not supported unanimously among the committee. It's something we've been looking at for the past 3 or 4 years. We began by asking the question, is can we impose restrictions on the WICHE students at all? The first responses were, well, no, it's if you qualify, you get it, you fund your positions. Then as time has gone on, we've learned that not only can you impose requirements, but other states in our WICHE compact are doing it. I think it's about 50-50. About half the states are requiring some reimbursement program if you don't stay in the state. So here's the policy question. What I understand that's happening, and based upon my own personal experience, is that if you're a student in Wyoming and you want to go into the go to medical school, and you have no intention of ever coming back to Wyoming, what do? And you qualify, you go to the WICHE program, you take those slots, and we are not seeing, and the statistics show that the folks going to WICHE are not returning to the state of Wyoming. The WAMI students are. And so the question is that what we want? And if what you want to do is provide PhD, doctorate-level education in an area that we are underserved throughout this state, where there are plenty of kids that still want to go to medical school, and you're saying, well, we know that these students are never coming back here, we don't care to have those contracts with them, fair enough, then vote against this footnote. And I assume that there will be an effort to take it out. But the majority of the committee felt that we are underserved in the area of medical students, and like some other states in WICHE, it's time to take a look at this and say, if you have no intention to come to Wyoming, then either seek another program. But we're looking for to educate medical students who will come back and practice in the state and at least make that commitment. And if they elect to go, then it's simply a repayment program, and they're treated just like the WAMI students in that regard. But it is a policy decision that everybody gets to make here.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and it's a fairly important policy decision because it involves more than, as I understand it, than just the medical students. It is one that we did discuss somewhat in the Labor Committee. We didn't actually act on it. As I recall, I don't think it was part of the bill that was defeated over. But it is an issue that you can come down either way on. Frankly, I'm a little nervous about legislating to this extent in a budget bill. I think I support the change. But I would suggest, whether or not we continue this footnote forward, that the Management Council might want to assign responsibility to this, you could give it to this, at least three committees could handle it, appropriations, education, or labor. But it might be an appropriate thing to look at, so it did come before us in a bill that the public had opportunity to testify on and be aware of ahead of time, instead of just a footnote in the budget bill.
Senator Jobe.
One of those issues that I'm not in step with the rest of the committee, because the WICHE program was created for a different purpose than the WAMI program. And there are WICHE states that do require a payback. In the cases where there is a payback in WICHE states, they do have a medical school already, and the students have the opportunity to go in-state to medical or out-of-state. And when they do choose to go out-of-state, then there is a payback provision. So there is a difference there. But to me, this is picking out one group of students and saying, you will pay back, because we support the entire University of Wyoming, and the students pay a tuition to go there. We don't tell them they have to stay in Wyoming. We educate them because it's the right thing to do, and we want them to go on and have a very productive life with no restrictions on where they go or what they do. WICHE is along the same lines as that. Because we don't provide the schools for those students, we help them go out of state, and we don't pay the full bill. All the WICHE does is provide support between that state's in-state tuition and their out-of-state tuition. And it was an access program, and it was something that we thought was fair and right to do for those kids. And so I know we have a doctor shortage. That's why we created WAMI. WAMI was specifically to bring those students back. So there is a difference, and I want to point those out, and we'll probably have a chance to talk about this again.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would tend to agree with the senator from Natrona County. I'd be a little bit reluctant to support a footnote on this. My concern is the dates that we have on that. We've got some students in the pipeline out there. This word has filtered out there, and it's caused a little bit of angst. So I'm not sure that we really ought to go the footnote route on this. But certainly I agree with our other colleague on the far side of the room. I think we'll have a chance to talk a little bit more about this one.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I do want to clarify, and if you look at the footnote, it's very clear that this is only for contracts for people entering after July 1, 2008, so it will not affect any of the pipeline students. We're talking about new students coming in and what a policy is. Just for information, the service requirements, Arizona requires it, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, and Washington. And so it's very frequent, and it's a policy decision. Everybody gets to, I'm sure everybody will have a chance to make that decision. If there's no further questions on this division, I'd call for the question.
Any further discussion on Section 69? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Section 69 to Senate File 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee of the whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard, you heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Messages from the House.
February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, third reading passed, amended. The bill listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 36, Uniform Law on Notarial Acts. Ayes 60. February the 19th, 2008, from the House of Representatives. Third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 31, Medical Safety Event Reporting. Ayes 60. House Bill 59, TANF Amendments. Ayes 60. House Bill 64, State Auditor Employee Criminal Background Checks, Ayes 60. House Bill 71, Emergency Fire Suppression Account, Ayes 60. House Bill 86, Reverse 9/11 Emergency System, Ayes 60. And House Bill 111, Board of Land Commissioners Conservation Easement, Ayes 60. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 42, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Nicholas, and Peterson. No, Senator Meyer and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 18th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 46. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Fecht, Larson and Vasey. Senator Larson, chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears this desk.
Mr. President, I move the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, not an announcement, but Senate File 46, which I just read in, contains an appropriation, and I'd like to request that it be re-referred to appropriations.
Hearing no objection, Senate File 46 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet today, 20 minutes after we take recess, and S-16 upstairs above. To hear Senate File 77, Severance Tax Distribution, Senate File 79, Property Tax Assessment Rate, Senate File 94, Study on Recapture of Value-Added Energy Resources.
Further announcements? The motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate is in recess till 2 p.m.